Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm not one to milk a rejoin like the Greg Hill Show because Greg, I'm not sure if you know this, Dan, but he worked for years at WAF.
So I've heard.
Legendary rock station in town.
Absolutely. A lot of good music going on there.
There was a show that was on the afternoons there, like the last 2 years that Greg was at AAF.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. They never gave those guys a chance to really, like, spread their wings, but...
Really?
Good show, yeah.
That's a damn shame. Any good producers on that show?
No. Terrible. Like, learning on the fly. Couldn't figure their ass from their elbow.
That's too bad.
No, it's a shame. Really, it's a shame. You are listening to
Sounds
WEI.
Like the show.
Every time I laugh, I think my lip is going to split open. WEI Afternoons, happy to have you. Hour number two rolling on right now. Stiz Grimy behind the glass right there. That's the Ball Hawk, Dan Ball. This is your old pal, Nick Fitzy Stevens, joining us in studio like he always does in the 3 o'clock hour. Tuesdays through Friday, Big Ted Johnson.
What's up, boys? How we doing?
How are you, Teddy?
Good.
How are you liking this weather, by the way? Since you are such a happy shirt guy, you love short sleeves, sun's out, guns out, isn't it feel nice to have the sunshine back as a prominent part of our lives?
I love it. You know, you get that... You get so hot and swampy, you know, you get the ball butter going, you know, you just get that.
Hey,
little,
now.
Which is a little bit, can be sometimes a little bit annoying. So you got to be careful in what you're wearing underneath. So that's the only concern. But yes, I do love the warm humidity.
All right. So that there's a keeper for the Ted Johnson log right there from the Book of Johnson. Ball butter. I usually go with Swastastic, Swass.
There you go.
A resident of Swassachusetts as well. Sometimes saying that if you added Gold Bond to my general dude region, you could make pizza dough. Yeah.
Nice.
Like it's a disaster, especially Ted, when the compressor in your car goes on the ride up to the station and you have no AC.
Oh.
I was gonna say I'm hitting on all cylinders today.
Man, when it comes hard, it just comes hard at you.
Yeah,
when
it
all
does.
Things at once, I got
when it rains, it pours.
Oh, frogs, humans, cats, dogs, the whole shebang. All right, guys, we have set the table accordingly. This is gonna be a zesty round of four. It's a buy three get one free edition of the 3 point stance.
319.
It's the 3 point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bam!
Easy as one, two, three.
Boston up! A hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
And it is gone! A 3-run homer and the game is tied.
On WEEI Afternoons.
Take it away, Danny.
All right, gentlemen, it is time for today's 3 point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, which is brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman, Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. Fitzy, if you've been hurt in a car or work accident.
a scooter, kid.
You and your face got to get Glassman. You can call all 7th at 617-777-7777. As it is 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, we have two hosts and two producers, all of whom will present their stance on the biggest stories in just the world at large today. Everybody will get 60 seconds to present their opening stance, after which we will discuss each and every one. Our order in a jam-packed 3-point stance is Nick Fitzy Stevens, then myself, Dan Ball, then Ted Johnson, and then my boy Stiz back behind the glass. Fitzy, you will lead us off amidst your pain. Are you ready?
Born into it, yes.
All right. Your 60 seconds begin right now.
Okay, we had a caller earlier this week. This is a non-sports related 3-point stance that I think will be highly relatable to everyone out there in Swassachusetts and beyond. A caller earlier this week wanted to discuss the Rafael Devers drama, and he capped off an excellent phone call with relevant sports passion and opinion with this opinion, a profane one at that, about the current state of vehicular affairs in Massachusetts.
An absolute...
That's right.
I loved it.
There was an F-bomb, there was an S-bomb, and it spoke to my soul, and I think he reached and touched a lot of people with that particular opinion, and I just wanted to say, folks, please, head on a swivel out there right now. My usual 2-something hour commute from wherever in the hell I decided to let my family relocate to down in Connecticut. Took well over 3 hours today. It was like a mutation of a Grand Theft Auto game with people playing pole position multiplied by Mario Kart racing. It was awful. There is construction everywhere. People have lost their mind and forgotten how to drive. And also, a general reminder, if you go to get gas and then you finish filling it up and you need to go to the bathroom or go get something inside, move your car into the parking lot. You don't leave your car at the freaking pump, you jerks.
That's an interesting debate.
Got him.
We could do a few segments on that.
I think that is the biggest dink move in the world.
If there's a line, yes, obviously. You don't let, if somebody's waiting behind you, sometimes, you know, if there's like nobody behind you and you go.
Yeah, just like when they do it, you're right behind them, right? And they see that you're there and they finish pumping and they close it. And sometimes you even get the stare back like, what are you going to do,
no,
bro?
No, that's not that.
And they go in like.
No. Then we'd be fighting. You gotta move your car. If there's someone sitting there waiting for you and you literally like look at them and then lock your door and go in and get, you know, peruse for the store, then you deserve to have your car rear-ended.
Yeah. Do I want the jalapenos on my Subway sandwich? Should we go baked Lay's or Doritos today, honey? Like, meanwhile, I just want to fill up my gas and get going.
Yeah.
The worst.
But the traffic for a lot of people, it is therapeutic, I think, just to talk about it.
Absolutely.
It helps me. When
you're not alone in your car dealing with the traffic.
Brother, that's the key to addiction recovery, man. It's just knowing that you're not alone and that you're not the only one that has those feelings. So get it out, man. Get it out. I'm glad our listener did the other day.
I'm glad he did as well. And that's why we may have to endeavor to get Bradfo on the show later today, although he did an excellent job on the middays, or possibly tomorrow, so we can relate scooter faceplant to scooter faceplant.
We at least need to do like a face-to-face kind of comparison.
Is there an old picture of him when he went?
There is.
Oh yeah, he messed up.
He got dinged up real good.
More bacon than what you got right now?
I don't know. Actually, I got a lot of action.
You guys, it was good bacon.
I can't shave for like the next 3 weeks because the right mustache side is just absolutely crushed.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
So I'm gonna look
like the nose looks a little tender.
It is for sure. And also, Ted, it's not fully diagnosed, but I told the boys coming in like things are hitting about a second late. And bright lights aren't my favorite right now.
Yeah, okay. Beautiful. Fair enough. All right, good to know.
All right, good to know. Welcome to that world.
I tell you what, I Googled Rob Bradford's scooter, and the first picture that comes up is something he tweeted at Jemiah Webster. I think you might get him in terms of the bumps and bruises category.
I got him?
I think you might have. Congratulations to you, Nick
Fitzy
Stevens.
Finally, I can take a victory lap at this place.
No WEEI scooter accident compares to yours. All right.
All right, Dan.
On we trudge here in the three-point stance. Stiz, may I have 60 seconds?
Dan, your 60 seconds begins right now.
All right, back to the Red Sox drum, I shall beat. The Red Sox have decisions to make. They already made one, the biggest one that you could possibly make, trading Rafael Devers. It looks like, hopefully within the span of the next month, they're going to have three more roster decisions to make on offense. That's Willier Abreu, Masataki Yoshida, and Alex Bregman returning to the lineup. So, what do you do to fit these guys back in your lineup? Because all three obviously need to be there when they're healthy. Nate Eaton's one. He's filling a spot right now. I think David Hamilton's days might be numbered. I don't think you're getting rid of Roman Gonzalez or Rob Refsnyder with the way that Alex Cora talks about them both. But what about the third? What about when Alex Bregman comes back and you have one more decision you have to make? I know I've said this before. I know you're hopefully trying to develop this guy on the fly. I still don't think they know what to do with Christian Campbell, and I'm still advocating that I think he could just use a little bit more time for both him and for the organization. He has one hit over his last six games, and since the Devers trade, he has DH'd, then he has pinch hit and played second base, and then he has played center field. They're still moving him around in the lineup. They're moving him around on the field, and he's not benefiting from it. The numbers just aren't bouncing back at the way that you would hope. So I think a little bit of seasoning would help you get out of roster hell and would also very much help the player continue to develop.
It was Alex Bregman's coming back, Willier Abreu soon, and who was the third?
Masataki Yoshida.
That's enough to buy the Red Sox the offensive injection they need right now, as they've only scored four runs or fewer in eight straight games, Ted.
Yep.
The Red Sox need a little extra punchado, if you will, and I think it comes in the form of Bregman, Abreu, and Yoshida. Right now, Campbell is struggling. He's still playing baseball like a foal.
Yeah.
He needs to go down and get some seasoning. He's the one that needs the reps there. I agree with you. And
I'm just glad that Yoshida's still in the mix, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's not a total waste. I hope he's a good hitter, Ted. I mean, I know, but it is kind of weird to me that they really, really only are going to sign off on him coming back until he's fully healthy to play the field. Although he can hit without any pain or any obstruction right now. So you think, boom, going into the DH. But no, he's got to be fully healthy to play in the field to come back and perhaps just play DH. That doesn't make sense to me.
A year or two ago, there was an investigation into the New York Mets for abusing the injured list and putting guys on the IL that weren't really hurt or extending their time or whatever else. I would have to wonder if Major League Baseball is going to have something to say about all of this, because all of a sudden he's gone from he's buried in Neverland to, oh, yeah, he's about to start a rehab assignment and he can come back any day because he's healthy enough to hit. Right after you make the trade to trade your DH out of that spot. There's something
smells fishy there, man.
It does.
It feels like he's been hitting for the last 2 months.
Right.
So
he never could throw in the first place. He's always been a sub-level defender. He's a plus-level hitter.
Yeah. So there is something there, because I feel like he could have been pulled up, you know, 2 months ago, and he's still rehabbing. All right. Very good.
All right, so that is mine. We have driving, and we have Christian Campbell is driving me insane. And we have Ted Johnson, and I ask you, are you ready?
I'm ready, Daniel.
All right, your 60 seconds begin right now.
All right, so the Red Sox are 7-8 in their last 8 games. And to no surprise, really what's been carrying this team is their pitching. In those last 8 games, they have scored a total of 20 runs. And if you divide that by 8, that is 2.5 runs per game, which is below the league average. They're in a recent 6-game winning streak where starters have gone at least, during their recent 6-game winning streak, starters went at least 6 innings. 4 of the 6 were scoreless innings. And over the past week, the starters have posted a 2.1 ERA, third in the American League, and a 181 batting average versus opponents. They have changed their approach to pitching in the last 8 games. It is very, very clear. If you listen to the broadcast, television, or radio, you'll hear the guy saying basically that has been the case, that they have changed what they're doing. They're throwing more strikes, more cutters, and more fastballs. That's really what's going on. And so thank God, because there was talk, maybe you heard some things about the pitching coach a few weeks ago, maybe being on the hot seat. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not the case now. That is the one unit that is carrying this team. And Garrett Whitlock, by the way, has gone 10 straight scoreless innings. So the pitching, obviously, we all know, has turned this team around, and it's because they've changed their approach, gentlemen.
Long overdue, Dan Ball. Long overdue.
Are you back in the good graces with Garrett Whitlock? I know him and Slayton kind of broke up for a little while.
Yeah, me and Slate still haven't talked in a while. I don't think he blocked my number or unfriended me on Facebook, but Whitlock and I started texting again.
Okay, good. A lot of what was made of the pitching, Ted, was the idea of pitching backwards. Essentially, you're throwing breaking balls and counts where hitters would be expecting fastball, like hitters counts, essentially.
Yeah.
Where normally you have to focus on locating, but instead you're trying to it wasn't tricking anybody. So I really love to see more of a fastball, sinker, cutter heavy diet in those situations where you get behind and you do need to locate a little bit better. I think, you know, the league will catch up a little bit to it, but it has been nice in the short term to see them be much more aggressive. You're letting Buehler throw harder, well, when he was pitching well. Giolito was throwing harder and throwing more fastballs. So I'm hoping it continues. It's been really refreshing to watch.
It is interesting, though, how they started. There was a kind of a scouting report. A way in which they were pitching was predictable, right? And mm-hmm. that was the thing that was frustrating. Is you know, when you listen to Will Fleming kind of talk, it's like, really, another XYZ pitch, and why not a fastball there? So you're right. It was interesting when they needed to throw strikes that they would approach it with, well, let's try and trick them with a breaking ball, and that, like you said, wasn't working. So thank God they've changed their approach. It's crazy how it's impacted not just, you know, one pitcher. Like, they're all pitching a lot better.
It's still, I actually read a story from the same guy that broke the story about the Red Sox having another offer on the table that forced them to hold on to money. He's a minor league baseball writer for Baseball America. He wrote a feature on how their minor league systems also throw more breaking balls than any other team in baseball. So I don't know if this is just a temporary stopgap to try to save Andrew Bailey's job, or if it's a shift in philosophy organizationally, but I don't really care, because I'll take it, because it's working, as you said.
And also, weren't they, I think we regurgitated this stat about a week and a half ago, weren't they from a show at Fenway, no less, weren't they at the lowest fastball rate in all of Major League Baseball?
Yes. Yeah, right? And by a far wide margin.
Since Bailey got hired. Yes.
Only one other team was in the 20-some-odd percent.
In the last several years.
And then it was 40% and up. The Sox were at like 22, an absurd amount.
That's starting to change.
Yeah, Ted, I'm sure you've probably heard this a million times before. Exotic defenses, crazy game plans and schemes, et cetera. Yeah. Sometimes you just have to kiss it. Keep it simple, stupid.
Dude, it's
our talent against yours.
It's amazing. There would be times we'd go into a game and you put in stuff on Wednesday and Thursday, and if you can't execute the blitz by Friday, I remember Parcells, get it out, Al Groh, our defense. Yep. Get it out, Al. We're not going to run that. We can't do it. We can't execute it in practice. So yes, that is something. If it's not working, you don't just continually bang your head against the wall hoping that it will. It just you go on to something else and do something different. They finally have done that. You wonder if they would have changed their approach, I don't know, 6 weeks ago, if they what their record possibly could be at this point. But it is what it is.
Yeah, I will say, though, right now, given where they sit, your Boston Red Sox, in order to reach the coveted 92-win plateau, Dan, need to go 53-33.
Let me update the tote board and put that out on WEEI Afternoons on Twitter so everybody can revel in that.
That means they only have to win 3 games for every 2 losses. Now, that is starting to be a little more doable. It's not 2 out of every 3. It's 3 out of every 5. That's doable-ish if they can keep this up.
It's in the cards. It's in the cards. But between the way the starting rotation is pitching and the way the offense is not offensing, something's got to give.
Yep.
That's why the 3 guys coming back, your season pre-trade deadline, that window of maybe a month when you get those guys back up until the trade deadline, there's your season right there.
So Bregman's maybe a month is kind of what we're thinking. And you got the trade deadline is about 5 weeks away. What you're saying is ideally you get all those guys back and then see what you have in the short amount of time before the trade deadline. It is amazing to me how are they playing. Sometimes they don't know what they want to do, buy or sell, until 5 days before the trade deadline. And so it really is based on how the team is performing right there at that moment.
When you put it into that perspective on the calendar, I wonder if it's going to be, all right, let's see how we do with Abreu and Yoshida back, because those two seem to be closer than Bregman is. And then we make a decision on do we bring Bregman back and make a run at it, or do we cover your ears, trade Bregman, depending on where we are after that time, but before he's back.
Interesting.
That would make me sick.
Okay.
But
no,
I'd be shocked by that. But maybe. You never know.
I mean, if you're out of it and he has the chance to opt out anyways.
If you're out of it, you got to be out of it. Or they'll get crushed if they do that and they're hovering 500 or just, you know, brutal. Just below it a little bit. They would get crushed.
All right, we are not there yet, not to cause any panic or alarm. Before we hit our break, Stanley Stiz, Grimy, Bruno, all the different nicknames in the world. Are you ready?
I'll give it a go, Daniel.
All right, your 60 seconds begin right now and buckle up.
All right, after multiple years and a case that divided certainly the state and the country, the Karen Reed verdict is in, and she was found not guilty of killing John O'Keefe. However, for me, I'm sorry, I didn't agree with the verdict. I accept it, I just don't agree. And for me, it was always Karen's own words that just did it for me. On one hand, here she is saying this.
Goes up the driveway and approaches the side door.
Goes to the front door of the house?
Yes. And approaches the side door.
I saw him approach the front door.
And approaches the side door.
The front door.
So she saw him approach the door. Now, was it the front door? Was it the side door? Well, it depended on the day she was telling the story. Who knows? But she saw him. She pulled up, watched him go in the house. But yet, on the other hand, she's also saying this.
I don't know. What if I ran his foot over? Or what if I clipped him in the knee and he passed out or went to care for himself and he threw up or passed out? And
if Dan and I were hanging out last night and I pulled up at Ted's house and Dan got out of my car and I watched him go into Ted's house, why on earth would I ever think that maybe I ran him over? I watched him go inside the house. Mm-hmm. It just never added up for me, this whole giant conspiracy. And again, this is the justice system we have. You may not like it, but it's what we have, and the jury did their job. Again, I'll say that I'll accept the verdict while I don't agree with the verdict. And I just also want to say that a not guilty verdict is not a declaration of innocence. I don't think this is the last that we've heard from the Karen Reed trial. I think there will probably be a civil suit, but this is not the last of it.
It is amazing. I can't believe her lawyers let her talk at all.
Let alone put a whole documentary out about
more it. More is less.
Yeah. She
thought she was a star.
You know what?
And she thought she could get away with
signing autographs.
That's what that is. She used that. You know, that's the kind of part that creeps you out a little bit. Is like that she's, you know, almost using it as a way to raise her profile. And I can't imagine any good lawyer worth their salt would ever say, yeah, you know what's a good idea? Why don't you go on news and tell this your end of the story? Because, you know, obviously you think you could use it against them later, but That's interesting, Stiz. Interesting take, buddy.
OJ had already paid out his, or at least had been told to pay out millions in his civil suit by the time he so brilliantly wrote the book, If I Did It.
That's right. And if you remember, wow, because he lost that civil suit, the Goldmans actually controlled that book. And so the cover, the book title was If I Did It. But the cover just, it was giant font that said, I did it. And they snuck the if very, very, very small in
very
the corner.
Very small. Wow. Which was a good
move. Did her family get the proceeds from that book?
The Nicole Brown Simpson. Yeah,
the Goldmans were fighting it.
Or the Goldmans.
He was constantly trying to hide money and do things. Yeah. So
and then he tried to steal some memorabilia. Yeah.
They got very little.
And then he became a fantasy football expert.
Oh, hey,
Twitter world.
When you go on those just rambling.
Hey, Twitterverse, OJ here.
Yikes.
Man, I'm having the hardest time deciding on my flex position this week. Meanwhile, he'd be like, oh, yeah, how was the flex of your arm when you killed those two people?
I mean, the comment section after he'd go on Twitter, you're just like, dude, what? Really?
Yeah.
Ted, like, you're okay doing this?
Ted, it was the definition of I'm just here for the comments.
Yeah. I mean, I'd never seen anything like it. Just complete.
And you're just turning your phone off. You're good with it. Yeah, all right. I did good, folks. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right, boys. So nice. Dan, let's recap today's four. It was a buy three get one free edition of the 3 point stand.
Yeah, about as chaotic as it can get. Fitzy is fed up with everything driving related in Massachusetts, in New England as a whole. I am still advocating for Christian Campbell to get some seasoning down in Worcester. Ted believes that a pitching shift has happened with the Red Sox, pitching philosophy shift, and that has led to their success. And Stiz is asking for everybody to get back to the courthouse for the Karen Reed trial, because he's got some evidence that apparently they did not discuss in trial.
And as now the text line is ablaze with commentary on Stiz's 3 point stance. Boo. How about the cops who threw away their phones, says the 413, or the family that got rid of the dog, blah, 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 sold a house. Uh-huh. There's a million different ways to look at this.
Yep. And you know what's so funny?
Everyone is guilty of something in this case. I think everybody in this case stinks out loud. It is a GD tragedy that somebody like John O'Keefe, who was kind enough to adopt his sister and brother-in-law's children after they passed away within a month's time of each other. I don't know what he may have been involved in. I don't know what he did, but I know he's a good guy. And now the O'Keefe family suffers and endures another tragedy. And we have all this drama and tens of millions of dollars of the state and all the time. I'd like an existential refund. And I know Ted wants his time back, too.
I'm good.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Good. Okay. All right. We're good.
And that's the 3 point stance for
there
today.
There you go. All right. 617-779-7937. There's your number. When we come back, it's been a couple of days since we've talked some basketball.
No kidding.
I know. And tonight,
relatively big game tonight.
New champion could be crowned in Indiana. Will the Thunder strike? And also, will shocking trades strike in Boston as well? Could Trader Brad be up to something and have the phone on the line? We'll find out, or at least we'll discuss when we come back next. But first, how about some trending sports news?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dan Ball. Wait a second. That wasn't a basketball highlight to lead into our discussion about Jaylen Brown and the Game 6 of the NBA Finals. Oh, wait a second. That's because we've got breaking baseball news.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program.
This is breaking news. Breaking news on WEEI is presented by the BetMGM Network. For all your betting needs, check out the newly rebranded BetMGM Network on the Odyssey app or locally on WEEI AM 850.
Well, ask in the 3 point stance and you shall receive.
Way to go, Dano.
The Boston Red Sox, per Jeff Passan of ESPN, are sending infielder Christian Campbell down to AAA. Campbell, who signed an 8-year, $60 million contract this spring, was hitting .301 at the end of April, but is .159 since. He'll get a chance to reset down in Worcester.
Called it. You're getting your wish, buddy.
Get your victory lap. Hey, listen, pop that collar, player. You called it.
I mean, you know, you can't teach what I got. That's the only thing I would say. No, I'm just kidding.
Just one thing, Jesus. One thing, my Lord and Savior, my parents, my teammates, my coaches.
No, I'm honestly, I'm I'm relieved for him. I think it's going to do him a lot of good, especially defensively. They need to figure out where he's going to play and play him there every single day. Hit him in the spot in the lineup in AAA where he's going to hit when he gets recalled to the bigs. Hopefully, in he needs to be down there at least 15 days, barring another injury. But hopefully, he gets a good chance to simmer down there. And B, and Fitz, you shared an optimistic view off air, mm-hmm. and I want to go to you for this because this is the first time that I feel like in a while that the Red Sox are doing something proactively. It's not because yes. there's an injury. It's not necessarily because, you know, they have to make this decision. They had another move. They could have sent Nate Eaton down if they're activating Willier or Massa or whatever the other move is that's going to happen. I think they're doing this proactively for the betterment of the player, and we haven't been able to have that conversation in quite a while about this group.
I couldn't agree more. The Rafael Devers move was both reactionary because they were tired of his nonsense, but it was a proactive move. Mostly a proactive move to improve
it was proactive.
The emotional caliber of the clubhouse and to get the mindset right, Ted. Hashtag alignment. Now, as far as Christian Campbell goes, we, I think as a show, have all agreed for a while now. I know the midday show did as well. They did a great job on their one-minute fix segment today on the Red Sox. And both Jones, Keefe, and I think many in Red Sox Nation agree that Christian Campbell needs some seasoning. Took it out of the oven too soon. Give him a chance to go down to AAA or go west to Worcester. Glad they sent him today. If they send him tomorrow with the bridge work, it probably would have taken way too long.
Yeah.
Send him out there now. Poor kid has to fly all the way back. Jeez. So he comes back. And now, like you said, figure out, is he a two-hole hitter? Three, four. How do they get that power that they talked about? With people talking about a young right-handed Barry Bonds in spring training, is he a second baseman? Ted, is he going to be your first baseman of the future? Because there really isn't one. We don't know how long the Toro, Gonzalez platoon is going
to
last
for. It sounds like they're looking for one. They were hoping to get one in the Giants trade, so with Rafi. So, yeah, they're looking. That's interesting. That you're right. No, it is the best thing. And I feel like they're doing things. You said the Rafi was reactionary. I feel like it was a long time coming. So to me, it wasn't. I feel like, but I just like that they're doing something. Yes. They're making moves. They're not. I mean, it felt like for the first 2 months, and I understand with the first, you have a plan to start the season, and you got certain guys you want to play at certain positions, and so you give guys long rope to kind of prove themselves. But then it was kind of obvious to a lot of us, why aren't they doing this? Well, now they're starting to do this. You know, now they're starting to make some bold decisions, which is great. Maybe it helps that maybe Willier Abreu is coming back, and mm-hmm. so that made the decision a little bit easier. But I just want to throw this out there. So real quick, you got you got Christian Campbell getting off to a hot start.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
First month, just crushing it. And then it's been all downhill.
League adjust to him.
I'm telling you, man, the news about when Rafi kind of turned his nose to Christian Campbell saying that he would play first base after Rafi said he wouldn't, if there was some kind of behind the scenes Rafi making Christian on Campbell or just making him feel like he wasn't a good teammate for going and doing that, that'll play tricks on you as a rookie. That if the face of the franchise, the veteran player, gives an impression to a young player like that at all, like he didn't like what he did,
mm-hmm.
and it directly kind of highlights Rafi's not being a team player, then I could see maybe from a psychological standpoint that affecting his just approach to going to the ballpark every single day. I don't know if that's a case. I'm just throwing it out there. Something to think about is why maybe his numbers went from as good as they were to as bad as they are right now.
Yeah, look, I mean, right here, Dan, the numbers speak for themselves.
Right.
Defensively, he hasn't been a massive liability, but he, again, could use some more seasoning. But
it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, this is getting awkward. I'll do it for you, Stiz.
As posted by Passan in the tweet, was hitting .301, .407, .495 at the end of April. .159, .243, .222 yeah. since. He needs to go down there and see some breaking balls. He needs to go down there and work on, you know, his trouble with the curve. He needs to just take some time. We've now seen, you signed him for a great deal. You got him 8 for $60, like you said, could go, like, what, 10 for $100 if it right. reaches its full valuation. He's not going anywhere anytime soon. Give him a chance to develop properly. Now this gives you a chance, guys. Let's just think real quickly. We're going to, maybe Breslow Bot has some thoughts on these as well. But, like, let's just, real quick, Cora get him and all out the baseball, here. All the baseball minds. He needs to be in Worcester. Let's think. Like, now your options at second base, Ted. Do you bring Rafaela in? Do you move Story over when Bregman comes back? Put Meyer at shortstop, which I think would be their best infield.
No way they're moving Server. No freaking way.
You don't think he? But no he played way. Second base so valiantly in his first year when they still had Bogarts
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, that's
you've got
totally
to put
different.
Bregman at third.
Totally different. Totally different.
Well, you're not sending Meyer down. Where's he going?
Yeah, I don't know.
Second?
Yeah, I think they'd put him at second before they put Trevor Story there. I'd be surprised. I just think they don't want to mess with Trevor. You gave me the numbers last week. When Trevor Story's hitting, this team hits and wins.
Your guy told us the most important offensive player was Trevor Story.
You want to mess with his head and move him to second base? That's not how they do. They don't do that to the veteran players. They don't move the veteran players around like that.
That's true. To a fault, they don't do that.
Right.
Yeah. As a matter
of fact. So maybe it's Bregman at third. You leave Story at shortstop. You send Meyer and hope that he doesn't get hurt. Probably a greater chance of getting hurt playing short than second base. But whatever. Let's just fingers crossed. Knock on wood. Hope that he guts
the
out
DH
the season.
DH is open, so don't you know they can get Meyer in at the DH.
But Yoshida as well, and you got then you have Duran, Rafaela, Roman Anthony, and Abreu in the outfield. So
you still got
one more
situation that you have to solve in that outfield.
One of those guys could play first base in the interim.
What's that?
Oh, somebody, you have four outfielders for three spots.
Gotcha. Yep.
So I would wonder, is it Roman Anthony DHing a bit more and Moss is coming off the bench? Is there still, I still think there's a trade to be made. Mm-hmm. There's somebody in that outfield needs to get moved for pitching help or as part mm-hmm. of a bigger deal for the number two starter that you desperately lack. And so I would wonder if that's the kind of send players out to bring players in move you make at the deadline. But I like a Christian Campbell at first base for the next couple weeks down in Worcester. Mm-hmm. That would solve a lot of problems when you start to get some of these guys back.
Calm,
I like that, Fitzy.
Calm his nerves down a little bit. Tell him that he's got the time to get things right. It could be, like you said, at least 15 days. It could be a month.
And they gave him plenty of opportunity. It wasn't, you know, I mean, it's 70 games. We're 70, a little over 70 games into mm-hmm. it. I mean, he got a lot of run to try and fix it, and he can't, so... I think I don't think him going down to AAA is going to crush him. He's probably, in some degree, probably relieved.
Yeah.
So that he can, you know, go down there where the lights aren't as bright, work on his game and try and get things figured out. Because can you imagine? It's like you play so many games that it'd be like trying to fix your golf swing in the middle of a golf tournament.
Right.
There's no time to practice. Right. And then come back to the tournament.
Fix your slice while you're playing the Masters.
Hey, Ted, right. How come you're crowding the ball in the box, brother? Why don't you scoop it? Listen, this is the swing I brought to the dance
that's
today.
It.
This is how I'm going to handle it. And then we'll get to it at the 19th hole. 617-779-7937. So there's your breaking Red Sox news, fans. Christian Campbell has been sent to AAA. He is now currently a member of the Woo Sox. Could it mean that Willy Abreu is going to be rejoining the big ball club? Likely so. We'll give you the latest we have on that coming up later on in the 5 o'clock hour. When we come back, we'll get to some of those latest basketball rumors surrounding Jaylen Brown and more. Maybe preview the finals tonight. Could it be Thunder time? We'll know soon enough here on WEEI Afternoons.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
A new voice at the Entirely Sick Persons Network, someone by the name of Stephen Asmuth.
Totally different.
I just wish he would catch a break the same way. I wish there were more commercials with Kevin Hart. You know, I don't see enough of either of them these days.
True.
Yeah, both are really hurting
right now.
It's going to suck when Stephen A. is the fifth member of Inside the NBA.
Or how about when he's your next president?
It's
he might ruin the show. You're right, Dan Ball. Oh, no.
It's amazing.
I like that made you panic more than the whole president thing you just brought up.
It is amazing.
Sorry.
I could listen to Stephen A. A lot of people, he's brash. He's, you know, comes in. Yeah, but, now I think I think the more success that these guys get at the top of these ESPN, shows, they get crazier and crazier. Their egos get so big, they make themselves a part of the story, and I just think they lose some of what you know, I don't know, was the reason that got him there in the first place. And I think Stephen A. just become more and more of a caricature of himself. And I don't, yeah. it's hard to take him serious anymore.
I'll tell you, I know Ted Theodore Johnson. Ted Johnson and I, now we have been friends for a long time.
Is this Stephen A. meets Red Dead Redemption?
Exactly, 100%. That's Morgan A. Smith, as I like to call him.
I met him back in 2005.
Yeah.
I was down in Cabo. Mm-hmm. And it was nobody
in
was
Cabo. No way.
Brag.
At a resort, very much. I was
with a bottle of Sammy Hagar's tequila in hand.
I was living that baller life, and then it all came crashing down. But in that 2005, yeah, I was at a resort called Las Ventanas, beautiful resort, mm-hmm. and it was just me and him in the weight room. And so I go up and I chat him up. Nicest guy. Mm-hmm. Nicest guy.
This was young Steve, up and coming. Hey, I like this guy's energy. Yeah.
And
still ESPN though, right?
I think he was.
Yeah.
I think he was
early fledgling kind of.
Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing to see how his, I don't know, I had a nice kind of, it was a personal, nice little interaction. Mm-hmm. If it were today, he wouldn't probably have the time of day for me, you know? Mm-hmm. He's just gotten so big. But anyway, we digress.
Of course.
Stephen A.
Can't help it. Anyways, those are our thoughts on Stephen A. That's been Media Corner with Ted, Dan, and Fitzy. let's get to tonight. Ted, you have been hot on the Thunder the entire duration of this iteration of the afternoon show on WEEI. You have admired them. You predicted they would go to the finals. I even believe you thought they would win the finals. And now tonight, this could be your ultimate dream come true, because Game 6 in Indiana tonight, 8:30 on the American Broadcasting Company. You've got the visiting Oklahoma City Thunder.
Thunder strikes.
Thunder have arrived.
You have the Thunder now poised, I think most people believe, to wrap the series, take home their first NBA championship. They were dynamic in Game 5. They really seem to have taken control of the series. Of course, Dan, we know that Tyrese Halliburton strained calf. Rick Carlisle says he's doing everything he can to get back for tonight because he knows what's on the line.
Right.
Game time decision. But at this point, Ted, it feels fait accompli to me. I think the Pacers give it all they can tonight, but I think the Thunder take it home. Do you see it that way? And what do you think that means for the NBA going forward?
Yeah, I do. I thought they'd win in five, you know, so they'll win, I think, in six now. I think they showed a lot of grit. I just think it's a gritty team. They got grit. They do. And it all starts from the top. The grit for that team all stems from SGA and how he approaches his game. And the fact that he will do whatever it takes to play defense. He will attack the rim. Whenever your best player will ball out on defense and then will attack the rim as aggressively as SGA does, I think it brings an entire mindset to the team that you just see permeated throughout that whole team. And I got a lot of respect for them. They beat Memphis in four. They swept mm-hmm. Memphis in the first round. But then they had a grueling seven-game series against the former champs in the Denver Nuggets.
That was a champion's heart right there.
It was. And so they just, to me, they're the perfect team right now. I mean, they are absolutely, and it's amazing. I think they're the second youngest team in the NBA, guys. That's the kind of the shocker about it. It was like, you know, we always said that maybe this team was what the Celtics were 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They're like 4 years ahead of what the Celtics when they win it tonight.
Celtics finally won one last year, should have won one a few years prior, didn't arrive. I mean, they arrived in time. That's their timeline and due process was served. But the Thunder seem to be ahead of schedule. And the terrifying thing is, Dan, I'd love to hear if you think that how the Pacers could put up a fight tonight. But you want to talk about the rise of a new potential empire or the dawn of a dynasty in the NBA? Yeah. They have four freaking first-round picks coming up in the next draft.
What do you think about that, Dan? Like, do you think – a lot of people say, they'll be a one-and-done like everybody else. It's the NBA is designed that way, and if you look at past history, that's been the case. Do you think that is with this team?
Not in the slightest. And to cite the Celtics example that you guys are bringing up, they are, in Celtics fashion, bringing back their entire roster next year. Everybody that's in their rotation right now is either signed or has a team option for next season. So if they so choose, they can – quite legitimately run the entire thing back, and they could possibly package up those assets and use them to acquire whatever one piece they would determine that they're missing, even though I don't know what it is. Their impact on the league is going to be really fascinating, Ted, because we bemoan so much the Celtics' inability to change their game from shooting threes. While we see a team like the Thunder being successful basically playing in a number of different ways offensively. You need me to beat you with the three ball, they can do that. You need me to get inside, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has been tremendous at doing that. So I wonder if they become a bit of a model of, hey, take your time, get your true star players through the draft, add your supplemental pieces, your Isaiah Hartensteins in over the years as you get the chance, and you're going to need to be a team that wins at every level in order to win a championship. I wonder if the Celtics would be a team that takes notes from a team like OKC.
Yeah, but it's you got to hit on your drafts like they have, and they were so bad that they picked high, but that is, I mean, you know, Golden State built their dynasty through the draft. You know, I mean.
There weren't a lot of trades for Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. Like they did, and Draymond, they did a great job building the team.
Yeah, and so you know, the Celtics have had sustained success through the draft. Now they haven't had multiple championships, but I don't understand where people think this is going to be a one and done team. I just think they're as young as they are, they're going to bounce back. I always think there's a little bit of low. Can young guys handle being the top dogs, and can they go to the next year and know? Be ready for what's about to happen. I might question that, but if they don't win it next year, I feel like this is a team that can win, you know, multiple ones in the next 5 years. Because of how young they are.
Yeah, you got a great coach. You got great players with great mentalities and great contracts. What about that suggests this is going to change year over year?
The financial roost is not going to come home anytime soon. I mean, yeah, sure, they're going to have to eventually. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is going to get his. Other guys will want theirs as well. Who knows? Maybe they'll even bring in a free agent or two, because all of a sudden Oklahoma City is going to go from, I don't want to play there, like Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant ran and that pantry has been empty for years, to, hey, you know what I'd like to do? Play with Shai and Williams and Holmgren and company and go win a ring or two. They could very well, Ted. I think that's the most appropriate and apt comp. This could turn in to the landlocked Golden State of the future as well, and the NBA shouldn't be scared. So we'll see if they actually take home the title tonight. Whatever the result, we'll be here to react to it tomorrow on WEEI Afternoons. 617-779-7937. There's your number. Let's talk about your basketball team when we come back. The Boston Celtics. Could they be connected to some possible trades with some teams that Brad Stevens loves all the way out on the West Coast in the Western Conference? And will he be willing to pick up the phone and be bold this offseason? We debate next here on EEI Afternoons.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.